In my lecture on the path to nirvana, I mentioned that the path could be divided into three categories: sila, which was moral conduct, samadhi, mental concentration, and punya. Well, another word for philosophy is a word, vipassana, a word that we sometimes translate as discriminating vision or insight. It's a form of Buddhist meditation, and it has to do with cultivating wisdom, and it, too, is a kind of philosophy. So philosophy, like insight meditation, is one of the ways to cultivate wisdom. So it is integrally related to the practice of Buddhism itself, something that you have to do to try to free yourself from the illusions that bind you in the world of death and rebirth, the world of samsara. So this means that philosophy is not just a theoretical activity, it's a form of Buddhist practice. You might say that Buddhist philosophy is, these are my words, not words that belong to the Buddhists, but I think it makes sense. You could say that Buddhist philosophy is practice seeking clarification, in the same way that Christian theologians say that theology is faith seeking understanding. But the clarification of the mind that we're talking about here is not just a little intellectual game. It's not something that you play with students in a class just to have fun, just to play intellectual tricks. Philosophy helps a person see through the appearances of things and confront reality face to face, as if you were looking at that image in the temple. Now, I also should say that the practice of philosophy in Buddhist communities, especially in the Tibetan world, is practical in another sense, too. Whether this was true back in the Indian communities that first gave us this tradition, we really don't know. But if you go to visit a Tibetan monastery these days, whether it's in Tibet or in the mountains of India or down on the plains where there are some major Tibetan monasteries that have been reestablished in Tibetan refugee communities, there's a fantastic little ritual that kids go through when they first practice this philosophical tradition. When you get up in the morning, I don't remember how early that was, but when you get up in the morning, you go off and have some breakfast, some Tibetan buttered tea, and maybe some sampa, some barley, or something like that. And then you go to your teacher, and the teacher, in I guess the most elementary sense, gives you a text to memorize. He recites a text to you, and the young monks have the job of memorizing it, simply absorbing the teaching as if they were memorizing in that classic Indian sense. It's associated with an oral tradition of teaching throughout the Indian world. And then they have to go out and debate it. That's really where the philosophy enters, in a sense, where they have to engage in argument to try to explore some of the ambiguous points in the teaching that's just been presented to them and learn how to make their position effective in relation to others. And if you ever get a chance to visit in a Tibetan community, this is probably one of the most lively and interesting moments in the whole day. Oftentimes, there's a row of young monks lined up with their in the shady side of the temple with their back up against the temple wall. And then there's another line of young monks, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, whatever their age would be. And they're the questioners in the debate. So they stand there. They've often got a little rosary in their hand. And it becomes kind of like, I don't know, it's like recess or it's like PE practice or something like that. These guys who are standing up, starting to the debate, line up their opponent, and they start to ask some questions like, okay, something. Is the self identical to the aggregates or is it not? Ha! Sa! Give me an answer. And then the answer comes back and the answer is translated into another question. So philosophy becomes this tremendous game with stamping of feet, great sort of peals of laughter. It's as active a form of intellectual discipline as I think I've ever seen anywhere in the religious traditions of the world. So philosophy is practical in a sense, in the sense that it cultivates vision, this fundamental form of insight into the nature of reality, but it also is practiced in Buddhist communities in a way that has a certain kind of physicality that's full of physical energy. And in that sense, it's a kind of absorbing component in the practical life of a Buddhist monastery.